14. Through Silvanus, our faithful brother, so far I regard him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it, so she who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you your greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace be to all who are in Christ. And tonight we want to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12, but let us pray first. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share your word and to be amongst your people. I ask that you would be glorified in this sermon tonight and the people would be edified. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Peter ends this letter. He says, through Silvanus, our faithful brother, also Silvanus is also Silas, as you know, be familiar with the name Silas. He was Paul's companion at one time. Now he's Peter, another apostle's co-worker or co-laborer for the gospel. And Peter says, through Silvanus, our faithful brothers, for so I regard him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. When I first saw that, the true grace of God, I kind of took a step back and thought, what does that mean? And after looking at some slight commentaries and doing a word study, I found out that Peter was telling this particular church that he is an eyewitness, along with Silvanus, that he is an eyewitness to something, and that is the true grace of God. But before we view that, let's look at these other words, exhorting and testifying, because they're very important. Peter was saying here, exhorting meaning giving strong advice to someone to protect the truth. So Peter is giving strong advice for this church to protect the truth, and then he says, and testifying that this is the true grace of God. So Peter and Silas, or Silvanus, become eyewitnesses to God's work in these people's lives. And what was the work that was going on in these people's lives, in this church's life? The true grace of God. And that would mean that Peter and Silvanus, who is also a prophet according to Acts chapter 15, verse 32, says that Peter and Silvanus was an eyewitness to God's grace to save them, God's grace to sustain them during persecution and trials, God's grace to provide for them, and God's grace to get them through suffering, and alternately, God's grace to one day glorify them at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Peter exhorts them and testifies as a witness to this grace of truth, and he tells them to stand firm in it. And in other words, do not abandon it, but literally protect it. Then Peter goes on in verse 13. He says, she who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends greetings. Peter gets a little cryptic here. And what he means is, because of a heavy persecution, if you're familiar with what was going on in this time in history, Nero was burning Christians alive. Christians were being condemned and to death and even persecuted and thrown in prison. They were accused of burning down Rome. So Peter disguises a particular church, and he says, she who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings, as so does my son Mark. If you read over in Revelation chapter 17, verse 18, you'll find that Babylon over there is the city of Rome. So he's talking about the church in Rome, and he's actually protecting the church in Rome of its identity, its true identity, and probably its own location, because it was open season for Christians during that time. So he says, she who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greeting, and so does my son Mark. Now, Mark was not Peter's biological son. He was his spiritual son, like Paul had Titus and Timothy as spiritual sons. Some commentators think that Mark might have been a cousin of Peter. Others know that he's a cousin of Barnabas. And another thing, it is believed that Mark got all of his gospel information while under Peter's authority, because Peter happened to be there. He was an eyewitness of Christ's life. And anyways, all these greetings are coming because the greetings affirm the true conversion that Peter affirms the Roman church was chosen like them in Christ and sends their greeting. And if you remember some of the things in the Bible where if somebody, a false prophet or someone that has a different gospel comes, you don't greet those people, right? You send them away. You don't support them financially and things. So Babylon or the church in Rome, chosen together along with Mark, is actually affirming these people's salvation and their conversion by sending them greetings. So he goes on to say in verse 14, greet one another with a kiss of love. In ancient times, this was a cultural thing. Men kissed men on the cheek. Sometimes I've been to Italian places and they kiss each other on the cheek. Men kissed men on the cheek in that day and time. Women kissed women on the cheek in that day and time. But men did not kiss women and women did not kiss men in that ancient time. So this is a greeting of affection, brotherly love. In today's vernacular, we probably would say it's closer to a handshake. It's like, I think it's the English started, if they're not headed for a sword, they're heading for a handshake to show that they're not at war. And so this would probably be close to what we would do today. And then Peter goes on to say, peace be to all of you who are in Christ Jesus. Peace to you all in Christ. Peace here means to live well in your body and in your relationships to one another and be victorious over your enemies, namely these who cause suffering, persecution to you. Also to enjoy the peace you have in God. Peter says, peace to all of you who are in Christ. I was thinking while I was going through this what the pastor used as an illustration. An aircraft going, say, from New York to Paris, You can follow it on a schedule, you can follow it on radar, but unless you're in that plane, you're not headed in that direction. You're not going to land in Paris unless you're in the plane. And it's like this, you, in order to have peace in your life, and for them to have peace in their life, they have to be in Christ Jesus. Now, to sum it up, three questions I want to ask you. Do others witness God's grace in your life like they did in this church's life? The Church of Rome witnessed the grace of God. Peter witnessed the grace of God. Mark witnessed the grace of God. Who in your life witnesses the grace of God working in your life? And second of all, what threats do you take to protect the church? And I was thinking of not too long ago, the pastor made us all sign little pieces of paper saying that we wouldn't carry handguns in the church. And then I found out later they had put into place a security system, and I think I was talking to Adam or someone, and I said, you think you can really take and disarm a man that comes in here with a gun? They said, absolutely. So we do protect our church, and that is not a wrong thing. Peter protected the Church of Rome by calling it Babylon, calling it another name. And then I realized we do have a responsibility to protect one another when we can. And then third, are you basking in Christ and his peace? These people were, Peter told them, peace be to you. Do we have peace in our life because we are in Christ Jesus? Well, that's all I have to say about this. And this is the end of the book. And thank you all for being here.